This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Architecture has been described as the most inescapable of art form because we all need a roof over our heads. Here to bridge the gap between the people who design our homes and offices and those who live and work in them are Ang Chee Cheong, and he's actually going to explain to us. They've launched something called the Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia, or PAM, Public Lectures 2014-2015. It's the first time it's being opened up to the general public, and we'll find out more about that. Welcome to the show, Ang. How are you today?
Thank you, Meera. I'm very happy to be here.
Ang, how did the idea for this public lecture series on architecture come to be?
The impetus for the first public lecture series came from the PAM president and the PAM Council 2014-2015. The idea was to take architecture outside, away from the confines of the institute, out into the public, which is ultimately the stakeholders of architecture. At this point, I must mention and credit my co-director, Ahmad Nazmi, who was invaluable and played a tireless part in the formulation of the program. He couldn't be here today, but fundamentally, architecture, we find, is a cultural production that's played out in the public sphere. So we think it's entirely appropriate that the first pilot program for public engagement be conducted now.
Why did you think there was a need for that?
I think it's quite obvious that architecture today is perhaps in a sense of crisis, and that architecture is seen to cater for a very selected few.
Why crisis, huh?
Because there is this sense that architecture only caters for the 2%, which is what one architect in Paris quipped last week, that architecture is completely supporting the of a certain elite, whereas we feel that architecture as a basic fundamental act should be and must be able to cater for more.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, those who live and work in these buildings are the ones that matter most, because architects come in, you design, it's built, you leave. At the end of the day, the users are the ones who are actually going to enjoy this, whatever you've actually put together. And is there much interaction at all between once people have moved into a building and the architect who actually built it?
Yes, we completely agree. Sometimes after we finish a building and we walk away, there is very little studies to see how the building functions. And that is one aspect of post-occupancy, that architects should study more.
Okay. And, you know, when you say it was in crisis just now, do you think it's in a very dire situation in Malaysia?
I don't think it's yet reached a critical stage, but as the profession, we must try to reach out more to serve better.
One of the goals for the series is to prompt further discussion about what is and what isn't architecture. What is your take on this? You just had the first public lecture last week. How did that go?
We had a very successful kickoff lecture last week. We had something like 300 people attending Kayoko Ota's lecture. Mm-hmm. It was quite wonderful to see that we even broke the venue record at the Publica Black Box. We had people in the aisles and we had people sitting on the floors, and the enthusiasm and interest was palpable.
What does that tell you?
That there is a pent-up maybe enthusiasm for architecture that is not catered for. I think...
And were they attended mostly by people from the profession or...
We did, not in a scientific count, but... We estimate to be 50-50 from both within the profession and from outside. I think we had people from the developers industry, from property, from the business world, to architects, and we even had high school students looking forward to a future, considering a future in architecture.
Mm-hmm. And the theme of the lectures is scenarios and structures. Could you elaborate on that as well?
Scenarios and situations. We thought that perhaps it's interesting to look at architecture in its background. Conventionally, the presentation of architecture to the public at large is the completed building, the virtuoso performance.
Yep.
But there are so many things that go into the process of developing architecture that, and it involves so many specialists and experts from different realms, different professions, that we wanted to look at, step back from the finished building and look at the development of it as a whole.
Just to move away, we spoke about post-occupancy, i.e. after, you know, the occupants move into a building and, you know, there should be more interaction between the architect and, you know, occupants. But what about the relationship between architects and the people who are actually building, who are actually constructing this building? I mean, are you all on the same page? I mean, we depend very much on, you know, foreign workers in this country in terms of construction and things like that. How do you balance your expectations as an architect and, you know, the building that's actually going on?
Well, I think architecture is never to do architecture is never a smooth process. There's a series of intense negotiations between a whole group of stakeholders, from the clients, the architects, the engineers, the stakeholders, the end users. So, but I think throughout this negotiations come out, the successful architecture depends on a successful negotiation. As for the foreign workers,
They're the ones building, they're the ones constructing. What are the standards like in this country for the quality of work that goes into a building?
Generally, I believe that the treatment and the industry of building buildings in Malaysia is generally quite good. We have quite established standards. And I think this is far better than the treatment of workers abroad. And I suspect our conditions are much more developed towards a more humane system. But I also suspect that the idea of foreign workers in our industry is one that will expire in a quite near future. As property prices go up, mm-hmm. financing costs goes up, there will be need to deliver a project much quicker. And in that sense, more industrialized systems, prefab, will come into play. And if you look at the experience of Singapore, when they decided they had to have less workers on site, mm-hmm. you know, they've forced it through this method of construction.
Have they been very successful?
Yes, I think in Singapore there is buildings are delivered rather quickly from high rise to medium rise. Mm-hmm.
Do you see us eventually moving that way?
I think that is I think it's inevitable. I think the government has instituted some initiatives in this along this aspect.
Are we ready yet?
It's always a growing pain situation, and when push becomes pull, or vice versa,
we'll have to bite our tongues and actually just do it.
Yeah,
is what you're saying. Ang, you've been in the industry for more than 2 decades. How has architecture in Malaysia developed during your career?
From the time I graduated till now, I think we have come a long way. Actually, truth be told. I think nowadays architects and designers have much more in tune with designing for the environment, for the climate, which in Malaysia, as you know, is quite you can't escape it, the heat, the rain, yeah, as we see outside the window. So I believe we have been quite successful in that, and in the 2 decades. Architects have been involved in a lot of residential projects, and we have managed to come up with many innovative housing solutions. On the other aspect, I think that having been a partner with in nation building, perhaps it's time that we move forward to the next phase, and it's to see how architects can serve the people in other ways, in public projects, to build libraries, to build police stations, to build all the town and urban and civil structures that I think we need now.
We're discussing the Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia Public Lectures 2014-2015 with Ang Chee Cheong. He's a council member of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, also the program director of the PAM Lecture Series. We'll come back and find out a little bit more about architecture in Malaysia. I mean, in terms of how do they balance style and design over substance? How do you embrace culture, tradition and heritage into the work and, you know, take this country forward? That's up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Maybe you're a father, a mother, husband, wife. Maybe you have elderly parents or are planning to have kids. Whoever we are, we all want to protect our families and leave a legacy that can live beyond our lifetime. PruLink Million offers high coverage of 500,000 ringgit or more to protect what matters most. For legacy, wealth creation and protection, visit prulinkmillion.com.my. Terms and conditions apply. Prudential. Always listening, always understanding.
What makes an entrepreneur?
It's
not knowing everything about business, but being passionate and fearless.
The languages may be different, but the stories are always about one thing: success. Tune in to Going Global every Friday, 10 a.m., only on Enterprise.
Brave Finance Managers, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. Welcome. I'm Mira Sivasodhi, and we're discussing the Pertubuhan Architect Malaysia Public Lecture Series. It kicked off last week, and there are many more to come. In the studio with me, Ang Chee Cheong, who's a council member of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, also program director of the PAM Lecture Series. What's the next lecture that's coming up, Ang?
We have a very good program coming up. It will be a presentation by Office for Metropolitan Architecture, or what everyone in the industry calls OMA. It's a Dutch office, and it's generally acknowledged to be one of the most influential and innovative firms of today.
When is that happening?
That will be happening in December 17th at 8 o'clock at the Publica White Box.
And you also have Building Urban Culture, and that will be given by Michael Kokora and David
Hjernotten.
How do I pronounce it?
David Hjernotten. Hi, Hjernotten. It's a Dutch name.
Yeah, and when is that?
No, sorry, that was the 17th December lecture by so OMA.
It's the same one.
Yes.
It's the same one, all right. How do you balance style and design over substance and functionality, Ang?
Well, architects in general do not like to talk about style. We think that the external appearance of a building comes from a process of working on the project. Style is always an end game because it discusses something else other than the project.
And how does your own culture, tradition, heritage inform the work?
I think in Malaysia today, there are lots of architects who are doing work with engages with all these domains. There are lots of groups of young architects also doing work which tries to interface with the climate, with our current building materials, with our current scale, which I think is quite interesting and encouraging to see.
Do you think we're doing enough in terms of architecture in Malaysia?
We could always be doing more.
Where are we lacking?
I think we need to perhaps to engage with the authorities of the day to come up with a public procurement system that is more transparent and that is more reflective of the architectural industry today, which also will help the service industry tremendously. Currently, there does not seem to be a very transparent method of engaging architects for public buildings. And we also would like to see the government to embark on a public building program. I think, as I said, having gone through the national building effort for the last 30, 40 years, I think we are now ready to look at more institutional and more public-focused projects.
Wasn't that the case many years ago with Urban Development Authority and, you know, what we call UDA? But a lot of projects now are being privatized, Ang. Is that a problem for the architects?
Well, it's not a problem that's unique to Malaysia. I think in the entire world in this period of what they call late capitalism, entire sectors of public life is privatized. I think we have to be careful about exactly what we discuss. But yes, definitely, I think we should be able to do more in terms of facilities for the people.
And what is the most misunderstood aspect of architecture, the profession itself?
Well, I'll restrict my comments to architecture. I'm not sure if there's a misunderstanding, but there is this common perception that architecture is done by one person, when in reality it entails a whole host of different people with different aspects. We do have this situation that is called the Starkitect syndrome, where around the world, you know, everybody is trying to build the next icon, the next signature
That's
building.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are not immune to that in Malaysia. So again, we're trying to perhaps hope to upgrade a sort of understanding that architecture is a fundamental act that is there to provide for the people.
What are you hoping to achieve with the lectures?
In general, we think that in this environment, in our public environment today, it is also incredibly obvious to everyone that this is quite a hostile and fractured public discourse that we have. So we think that we should speak more with each other,
have more
identify
dialogue.
Identify commonalities and shared objectives, and to talk more. And perhaps that's a way out.
Did that come through last week at the lecture?
Yes, I think it was a wonderful mix of people, of all groups, you know.
Are you looking to make this lecture an annual event?
Yes, we certainly hope so. I think with the initial reception we had, it's been very encouraging to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I found it quite interesting that women still are underrepresented in architecture. Is it around the world?
Well, as you
Malaysia?
Know, this is a minefield for a man to answer.
But
I think
Take
it's
your
a very
time.
Important. I think it's quite important, and I'd like yes. to address this. I think I don't have the figures, but on observation, the situation in Malaysia is also similar to situations globally that women are underrepresented, and it's not a situation that is. We encourage.
Okay.
Perhaps there could be barriers, perceived barriers, but I think in Malaysia and at the Institute, we do encourage equal opportunity, equal rights, parity of pay, etc.
Well, they find that, you know, although women outnumber men in architecture schools, rarely make it to the top.
Again, this is a perception, I feel. I have worked with many female colleagues, which I am, who I find very diligent, very interesting, and very inspiring. Then in Malaysia, we also have several women architects who work at the top of the profession.
Mm-hmm.
I think at PAM also, we have had a woman president, which you can't say for a lot of countries.
But we can do better.
Of course, we can always do better. But I'm also curious, if you look at the figures that's coming out on our universities, women outnumber men 2-1.
Yes.
So I think in perhaps 10 years' time, we may no longer be asking this question, but we may be asking, how do we get more men in architecture?
Where are they, by the way? And what is your advice to any budding architect?
Oh, don't wear black, because that is too much of a cliche. The profession, the process of doing architecture is very arduous, and you need to have a lot of patience, and you need to be a strategic thinker. I think you need to focus more on what needs to get done, and you need to read more, see more, and always travel more.
Where can we get more information about the series, the lecture series?
We have a Facebook site,
Facebook.com/...
Please like our Facebook site, facebook.com/pam.dls, or you can simply search PAM Public Lecture Series, and also our Institute's website, pam.org.my.
Fantastic. Your message on architecture in Malaysia. Would you have a message for us?
There should never be one message. There should be many messages.
Thank you very much for joining me. Ang Chee Cheong, Council Member of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, also Program Director of the PAM Lecture Series on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.